Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. All right, guys, here we are again. And this time, I'm going to be talking about sex thoughts. It's just a bunch of random things that I have about sex. Usually, sex is a big thing that most of us wrestle with, and so I wanted to be able just to have a few thoughts on this, just to make some things normalized, or just give you some good ideas about some different things that I've collected over the years as far as just sex and our sexuality, how we move with women, how women and men are different. And so this is kind of just a collection of different ideas. Hopefully it'll really help and kind of give you an idea of just how good sexuality is. It's a really, really important part of our life, and you guys know it because it's a really strong internal resource that we have in our toolbox. So just like emotions and our identity and our intuition and our mind and our memory and our humor and different things like that, sexuality is a really, really big part of our life. It's really powerful, really significant, and you'll see it in chapter 4. I call it the great connector. It is the thing that connects people. If we didn't have a really strong sex drive, we wouldn't have strong connections. We probably wouldn't be doing family. It's kind of how it is. So anyway, here's just a few of my thoughts. This will probably be fairly short, but here we go. So starting off, the big part of our sexuality, usually it's wrought with shame. It's just shame goes through it cover to cover. It's just our life is covered with shame when it comes to our sexuality for a lot of us. And it's definitely one of the concepts in our life that has the most shame attached to it. And so, for most of us, we never had anybody to walk through this with us. When we were learning about this, when we were going through puberty, when we started to change in our body, you know, our penis started getting bigger, our testicles started to hang, we started being able to get an orgasm, or we learned what that was, we learned masturbation, and eventually, you know, we found out that we ejaculated, and somehow all this stuff was working and it was amazing, but we never had anybody to walk through that with us. And usually that's because our parents were covered with shame when it came to their sexuality, and so nobody taught them. And so it's just really an important thing just to remember, nobody was there to walk through that with us. We might have had a class in grade school or junior high, I think is when I had mine, and it just was more of mechanics and kind of embarrassing to even listen to your teacher talk about it. It was just more of it was more mechanical, not necessarily any of the emotional parts, or nothing about shame for sure, or nothing about how it's freaking exciting and it kind of takes you to a place that's just amazing. Nobody ever told us that what orgasm felt like and that it's just otherworldly and amazing. And so when we found out what it was, it was like, good grief, what is this thing? It's way, way more than I ever imagined something would be. But nobody was there to walk us through what our sexuality is and, you know, what sex was designed for. Definitely nobody taught us how to live maturely in our sex. And nobody really talked about how it's freaking awesome and how and why it feels so good. I mean, if somebody would have normalized that, it would have just not been so shameful. But most of us learned from, if we learned from our friends, or we learned by ourselves, or we learned from porn or something like that. It just, that was not the people who needed to be able to teach us what our sexuality is all about. Some of us got some things from church, you know, the Bible Belt thing, sex is dirty, save it for the one you love, which is so backwards. But that's the message that we get. But mostly we've gotten silence. Some of us got really horrible looks. Some of us were introduced to our sexuality through traumatic events and some things like that. And some of us, when we just asked questions or explored anything about it, we just were met with, like I said, silence or looks or don't talk about that or that's not what we talk about. You know, there wasn't a lot of openness when it came to sexuality. Hopefully for you there was, but for most of us it really kind of took, there was a lot of shame around it. Shame being that thing that felt like something was wrong with me or just something's wrong for sure. Even though it's that thing, how can something so wrong feel so right type of thing. And it was totally just all those questions. So really one of the first things to help break shame is being open, having humility and vulnerability. And so humility is just kind of going, I'm not that good at sex. Here I am, you know, I'm learning. I'm a learner. I'm a beginner. You know, I don't think any of us, when we enter into sexuality, even after, gosh, I've been married 37 years and I still feel like I've got too much to learn about sexuality. It's just, there's so much to it. And having a sense of humility is a really, really important thing. So, and then of course, with just being open and vulnerable. And vulnerability is one of the major ways to break the hold that shame has on your sex life. And it really helps you to be able to kill the four horsemen of shame. Remember, those were judgment, isolation, secrecy, and silence. And those categories, if you are in a judgmental state, if you're in isolation and secrecy and silence, you're always going, shame's just going to thrive. So if you talk about it, if you get it out into the open, out of hiding, if you're able to bring it up with group or other men, that's how you begin to really kill the horsemen of shame when it comes to your sexuality. Vulnerability also is, it's really important because it's the pathway to intimacy. Intimacy is that just being close and connected and bonded with another human being. And there's no other way to get intimacy in your life and that connection without vulnerability. You've got to be open and naked, actually literally naked on all of the different levels of your sexuality in order to be able to create those intimate moments and the full experience. And so for the most part, when you do engage with your sexual experience, you are literally naked. And so sex is inherently, because of that, a very vulnerable thing. You're going to be seen. And to experience it deeply and deep connection, you must allow yourself to be seen. And that's seen not just physically, but also emotionally and for who you truly are with your identity. That's a really important part of allowing yourself to be known and seen. And that's why sexuality is such a vulnerable thing and why so often it does have such a big hold of shame. But this is why it's tough. But in order to break shame, you have to allow yourself to be seen and be open and vulnerable. The other category is you must also be willing to talk about what you want or need in your sexual experience. And so this is kind of the rule of thumb is you are responsible for your own pleasure. Your partner is not a mind reader. You are not a mind reader. And we've got to coach each other on how our body works and what really works for us. And so the idea that each person is responsible for their own orgasm oftentimes is not taken well. You know, some people think that the other person is responsible for their orgasm. You know, you're supposed to make me come. So when you say you're responsible for your own orgasm, it's sometimes not taken well. But it is a really, really important conversation. You know, we can guess what the other person's sexual organs are like, but it's only guessing. You know, does a man know what it's like to have vestibular bulbs? So I think most women don't even know they have vestibular bulbs. And it's men obviously don't. But what the heck's a vestibular bulb? How would I know what it does and how it works? Just so you guys know, the vestibular bulbs, there's two on the, each side of a woman's vagina, on the, each side of her vulva. And so what they are, this is the part that swells up and it engorges much like a penis. And so each one of the bulbs kind of, they get puffy. And when they're aroused, a woman, her vestibular bulbs get puffy and filled and engorged with blood. And so this actually helps her to experience a lot more. So this is one of the reasons why when a woman, she may do the grinding, or it's called frotteurism, the dry humping, is arousing and stimulating her vestibular bulbs. And so if you knew that, you would be able to do a lot of work outside of her vagina. But most guys, and we'll get to this in a little bit, most guys go right for the clitoris thinking that's where the game is. And for women, it's not. That comes later, or you got to come in and out of moving toward that with arousing her. And I'll talk a little bit about that more soon. But the whole idea, I'm just saying, who knew about vestibular bulbs? Does a woman know? And how do we find out? She's got to teach us. This works. This doesn't work. Don't touch me there. Or don't touch me so hard there or often or whatever it is. It's just she needs to teach you what and how her body works and how it gets aroused and how it moves toward orgasm. And so the whole thing of she's got to teach you. And by being responsible for her own orgasm, she's teaching and telling you what works and what doesn't work. It's just really tough because it's surprising how many women actually fake orgasm just to keep things moving along instead of being able to say this doesn't work or that does work or whatever. And especially when it comes to porn does not teach anything that's squared away with reality when it comes to sexuality. It is so off base, horribly off base. So don't let porn be the thing that teaches you how to do your sexuality. And so also, on the other hand, like a man doesn't know vestibular bulbs, a woman wouldn't know how sensitive the head of the penis is. She might think that that's where it's at, but sometimes it's way too sensitive. Or she might, because she knows how sensitive her clitoris is. So, but we have dramatically different parts, and we've got to teach each other how those things work. Just remember that mind reading and guessing only goes so far and often causes a ton of frustration. So you got to learn how to communicate what you want and really coach her to communicate what she wants and communicate what you would like and works best for each of you. It's really, really important. Again, just being able to coach each other to speak up, to say what works, and usually because of shame, that's why people are hesitant to even pursue their own orgasm. So be really patient and communicate clearly that each person is responsible for their orgasm, and it's a matter of just talking it out and teaching each other how to actually do this. So that's a really important part of this. The second, and these whole concepts, this is a whole bunch of just random stuff I've collected. So the second one is totally random, different than shame, different than coaching each other and speaking up. But it's the idea, and some of you may have heard this and you may not, but it's a really important metaphor. And what it is women are like crock pots and men are like microwaves when it comes to sex. So if you think about it, a crock pot takes time to warm up. It takes time to get where it needs to be before it starts cooking. And that's how most women are. And that's why I was saying porn is so bad, because porn makes it look like a woman has a man's arousal cycle, where a man gets horny, boom, he's ready. And that's why we're more like microwaves. You push the button, bing, or schwing, you know, we are on. We are so on when it comes to sex. It's like, bam, we can just be on it. Where women, it just takes a while. So kissing, hugging, holding, talking, you know, things like that are more things that really help a woman warm up and become more aroused. It just takes time. And just understanding that real women are not like the women on porn. They're not microwaves. They're crockpots. So learning, it almost sounded like I said crackpots. That's not what I'm saying. But crockpots just takes time to warm up. And being able to think about that, with that, women are more cyclical with their sexuality and men are more linear. And so what that means is that women kind of flow differently. It's more of a cycle or potentially a sine wave where it kind of goes up and down and up and down over time, where men are more just a straight line, just boom. And so the way that that actually is oftentimes taken as a man, how men approach sex is more like a motorboat, where we just boom, we're going and we're on it, and we have a direction and we have energy and we have power and we're taking it where we want to go. While with the sine wave, a woman more enjoys sexuality, the more of a sailboat. And you think about how a sailboat moves on a body of water, especially with wind. You know, if they're tacking against the wind, they go right, they go left, they go right, they go left, they go way over here and way over here. It's much like I said, the sine wave. You're moving close, you're moving away, you're moving close, you're moving away. It's just kind of a much more of a drifting. It's more of a movement through the sexuality. It's not driving toward orgasm. It's moving in a completely different path than what a man would do. And so this is how a woman enjoys her sexuality or a sexual experience. It's totally different. The other category that's really important on that is a woman can actually enjoy and have a very, very fulfilling sexual experience without an orgasm. For most men, that sounds almost kind of ridiculous, because that's what our motorboat is going after. Boom, there it is. That's what I want. But the really cool thing about this, if you really follow a woman's sexuality, it really teaches a man more fullness of how to enjoy a very, very significant sexual experience, where we don't have to do the motorboat or drive toward orgasm, where it can be more intimate and it can be more of a loving or connected experience. It's really important. So the crock pot, the microwave, the motorboat, the sailboat, just really good metaphors for how men and women enjoy our sexuality and how you can really expand your ability to have a deeper and a more fulfilling sexual experience. The next concept is, for men, sex creates connection, but for women, connection opens them up to sex. So it feels like a really big mistake that God might have made when he created us. So why do you make this so opposite, where a man wants sex to be connected, where a woman wants connection to be able to be open to sex? It totally feels like it's opposite. But actually, I really believe that this is where we need to understand and love each other. So if a man, I want sex because I feel disconnected, you might think about that going, but wait, my wife wants connection in order to be open to sex. So I might do some connecting behaviors, conversation, snuggling, flirting, playfulness, you know, some different kind of affection, different things like that, creating connection, spending time together, whatever, really just creating that to be able to make her feel more open to a sexual experience. Or if you're a woman, I might feel disconnected, but I understand this is how my husband will be connected. So for her, love would be, let's do this. I'm in. I don't have to feel connected in order to have sex, because she doesn't. And oftentimes, even for a woman, if they're disconnected and they have sex, afterwards they also feel much more connected as well. So just remember that our sexuality, and either way of these with connection and sex, it's really a big open, it opens a massive doorway into deeper love and closeness. And even though we have a totally different way of moving towards sex, it really, really gives us a lot more connection. And like I said earlier, intimacy. The next concept, it's similar to the sailboat motorboat thing, but it's outside in or inside out. And so usually for a man does not feel bad starting on the inside, just getting right to business. And getting to business would be like, grab my dick, start sucking on it, start doing something with it, go right to the place. I don't care, man. That's it. I want it. I'm go to the inside and start taking care of business. That's how men work. But it's just like what I was saying with the sailboat. It's like women like from the outside in. So starting from the outside, and you're talking way outside with foreplay, fingertips, lips, eyes, the back of her neck, her toes, her thighs, her breasts, and then closer and closer and closer, then you move finally into the space of her genitals, you know, and even then spend some time with the vestibular bulbs. You're going to find out that's pretty freaking awesome rubbing those things. She's going to love it. But don't go immediately to the clitoris and touch that and then move away. Go like the sailboat. Go back to her breasts. Go back to kissing her. Go to her necks or her neck or her ears and then go back in. It starts on the outside and goes in and is like a sailboat moving from in, moving out. And this is what's so important about this is just understanding that women are different and loving a woman is totally different than how it would look like to love a man. But what we do is we project. And since this is what I want as a man, I'm a motorboat and get down to business. Let's do this thing. I assume that this is how a woman is, especially because porn has told us the lie that this is how a woman is. So think twice about that. Consider how a woman likes to start on the outside with foreplay, with teasing, with conversation and moving into the inside, you know, kissing her ears, her neck, and that type of thing. Playfulness is a really good thing. Moving from the outside to the inside and to see how that really works. It's a pretty cool thing to think differently about it. The next concept, and this comes from Esther Perel, her book Mating in Captivity, and she talks about passion, like fire, requires space. So consider the fire triangle. We most of us learned this in grade school or Boy Scouts or whatever. If you remember, the fire triangle had air, heat, and fuel. And you can't start piling on the wood. You just pile it on top of each other. You're going to smother the fire. And that doesn't give it the ability to have air. And so you need the space to let the air move. And so this is a really important relational construct. You know, the idea that absence makes the heart grow fonder. So creating the space that your relationship needs is really, really important. This is kind of something that's happened with the COVID stuff is people have worked a lot more remotely, working from home. It's like we're right on top of each other all the time. And then we're smothering. And we need space. That's why I think going to the office or commuting or being outside doing the things that you love actually creates more passion, more fire when we're creating the air, giving it space. So I hope that help you understand that as well. Let's see. There's the next concept is the whole idea of polarity. And there's a deep, deep polarity between masculinity and femininity, and it really plays a significant role in sexual arousal. And people, the politically correct world where they're trying to make it sound like men and women are the same, but this is nature. This is just how nature works. Polarity is the whole idea. You think about poles on a magnet, and the south, if the south pushes on the south, it pushes it away. But in north and south, boom, it's connected, and it's really drawn toward each other. And polarity is like that, and that's how attraction actually works. So maintaining a really masculine frame, and if your woman's maintaining a really strong sense of femininity, there's a lot more polarity, a lot more attractiveness when it comes to our sexuality when we're actually pursuing that. And so if you have more of a passive receiving feminine quality, it's not going to be very, it's not going to have a lot of draw. But if you're strong, if you're active, if you're initiating and that type of thing, feels totally different to the feminine and her receiving the whole thing. And so it's a really, really important part of this. I think I've said part of this is our genitalia actually play this out as well, where the man gets hard and moves into initiating, where the woman gets wet and receives. And so just the way that our bodies literally work naturally is how polarity works as well. The next concept is a whole idea. It's kind of similar, but it's the idea of how domesticity will quickly devour and absorb the erotic. Oh yeah, this is from Esther Perel as well. And so living in the domestic, keeping your house going, working, taking care of the kids, mowing the lawn, most of us at one point in time, we get caught up in the domestic. And Esther talks about how the domestic is like a giant amoeba and just swallows up the erotic parts of our life. And so knowing that the domestic will swallow up the erotic, you have to kind of fight and scratch and be very intentional to keep the erotic alive in your relationship. You got to fight for the erotic. You got to talk about it. You've got to pursue it. You've got to initiate it, flirting and foreplay. And this is the thing, domestic, that's so funny how people call it chore play. Or if I do the dishes or if I vacuum, she's going to be aroused. And it's like, no, that doesn't happen. It's all domestic. And that's not what creates attraction. Even though it's good to take the load off of her by doing some of the things that you need to do, that's actually a loving thing to do, but don't expect it to create arousal. Chore play is not a thing. Anyway, fighting for the erotic is a really significant thing. And there's more to be said about that. But for this time, just know that that's a concept, the domestic versus the erotic. Don't let the domestic swallow up that part of your life. The next part of this is having orgasm-centered sex or intimacy-centered sex. And so orgasm-centered sex, I also call that 17-year-old sex or immature sex. And you think about it, when you were 16 or 17, if you ever encountered sex, it's like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's like, I'm in, I'm out, and that's what sex is all about. It's you got your orgasm. When the orgasm is over, sex is over. And that's what it is. It's totally just about orgasm. And the fullness of that sexual experience is totally left behind. And most of us, like I said, immature sex, when we engage in our sexuality first, that's kind of what it was. It was orgasm centered. But now as we get older, we're starting to understand that our sexuality is more intimacy centered. And intimacy centered goes back to what I was talking about, being open and one and connected and bonded and close and being able to experience the connection that sex actually provides. And so the thing about it, when orgasm centered, when you have the orgasm, sex is over. With intimacy centered sex, sex is never over. It just keeps repeating the cycle. Then I call it foreplay, core play, and more play. And so foreplay is leading up to sex, core play is the concept of having sex, and more play is what flirting and connection and snuggling and conversation that you would have that actually begins to lead into the cycle of foreplay. And remember, chore play is not part of this. It doesn't work. And so, but it's a cycle. Intimacy-centered sex is always about being close and bonded and connected and loving. It's a really important part of this whole thing. The next concept is that the normal arousal cycle is misinformed. I kind of taught a little bit about this before. So a normal arousal cycle is desire, arousal, and climax. So desire would be horniness, arousal would be getting a hard on, or wetness for her, or her vestibular bulbs puffing up, that's arousal, and then climax, that would be orgasm. And so the normal cycle, desire, arousal, climax, and for men, that's what it is. We get horny, we get a hard-on, we move in, we have an orgasm. That's how it works. And that's what porn teaches, that this is how women work. Again, that's wrong. And so for women, it's more about arousal, desire, climax. So what a woman would do is once things get going, like let's say you start kissing, you start touching, you start different things like that. Then, so it starts off with arousal. Then she starts feeling like I'm becoming aroused. She becomes wet. She becomes more puffy. And then that's the thing that starts. But she doesn't get horny till after the arousal really starts. And then while she's doing it, she goes, hey, I want to do this. Let's do this. And so then that's a really important part of this, is don't think that she's going to get horny. And that's why porn is such a bad model for this, because the porn always has the woman just hot. She wants it now. And that's just not how it works. And so think about it, she's got to go through her cycle or becoming aroused, and then after she becomes aroused, then she wants it. Then she's more horny, she more desire. And then, like I said earlier, she actually doesn't even have to climax to have a very fulfilling experience. For some women, it might be totally true that they need to have an orgasm to feel very fulfilled, but most women feel very fulfilled because there's a deep connection. So, the next concept is that just sometimes you just need a good lube. A lot of people have not been taught this. And if you want natural lubes, there's grapeseed oil, avocado oil, coconut oil. All those work really well. They're from a natural, organic source. Or you could try some others. There's Pajur, PJUR, Body Glide. There's so many. You just Google Amazon sex lubes and you'll get a whole bunch of products. And just really pay attention. There's latex, there's non-latex, there's water soluble, there's non-water soluble, different oil based. Just really pay attention to what works and if you have any kind of allergies or anything like that. A lot of times with the more natural things, they might stain your sheets or not. Sometimes with the water soluble, they don't last as long. Like a lot of people use KY jelly, and that just really sucks because KY is made for doing a prostate exam or doing it's kind of the boink in and out. And that's all it's for. It doesn't have any ability to last. Well, maybe it's for that 17-year-old sex. Bam, bam, and we're in and out. But KY doesn't work. So find something really good. Find something that you guys enjoy be able to really find out what works and explore and experiment and kind of do what you really want to do with that. So that's a really big one there. So the last thing I'm going to talk about is, what does sex provide for you? And this is a really, really important part of this, because sexuality is such an integral part of who we are as humans. And there's a ton of reasons why. Remember how it's seen as lower or shameful or perverted. And so the message really has been, diminish this or hide this really important part. And so oftentimes we want to apologize for being sexual or having strong drives or needs in this area. And we just really have to be able to think through, well, what does sex really provide for me that I have such a strong drive or that feels like I want it so often? You know, what does it provide for me? And so being able to understand the true design of our sexuality is a really important part of this. So usually we just have a very, very limited view, like I was saying earlier, with just having orgasm, that's it. Or there's a lot of people that are really stuck with the idea that sex is only about power and control. And it's really not. It's so much more than what we really think. It's part of our design. It is for pleasure, but it's so much more for humans and so much more for relationships. It's so much more than just procreation and having kids. There's way more to it. And so what I've done is I've kind of created a spectrum. So on the left, I have physical, and on the right, I have spiritual. And so I'm putting spiritual on there because it is not a shameful part of us. It's a brilliant avenue to the fullness and abundance and richness that life brings. And I would actually call sex a godly endeavor. And so, you know, if you believe in creation, God created it. He made our bodies this way. I imagine, you know, God thinking about, let's see if we, when we're creating the body, let's put a bunch of nerves together. And if you rub them just right and just long enough, they explode in an ecstasy. Let's do that. I think that'd be a great idea. Let's make that happen. And so it's a very spiritual thing. So really with this whole thing, definitely talk about it with your significant other. talk about how it does have spiritual components. It's very physical, and everything in between. So on the right side is physical, and the left side is spiritual. In the middle is connection, as a human connection and relationship. So on the physical side, you have things like orgasm and pleasure and touch. You have fun, and there's definitely a stress relief or chemical release. You're able to really consider your hormones and re-upping your hormones and what it feels like to penetrate. It feels really good, and it has this massive feeling of satisfaction. And then as you move closer to the center of the spectrum, you have touch and affection, and you're relaxing, and you're learning about each other, and there's exploration, there's a thrill to it. There's the feeling desired or feeling attractive, and there's becoming proficient at this and gaining capability and competency with your sexuality. Some of it you feel really masculine, or you feel very feminine. And then as you move toward the center, there's passion and connection, feeling wanted. There's the vulnerability piece. There's trust that grows, sometimes admiration for the other person's body. You know, knowing each other and feeling connected. There's the procreation piece of it, where we might be doing this so that we have a kid. I just remember that was a fascinating part of this whole thing. It was actually really fun, because both of us wanted to be parents. We wanted to have kids, and so we made it happen, and it was a lot of fun for us that way. But really just really revealing our humanness, the vigor and life of this, the vitality that it has, really kind of exercises our strengths. It helps you to feel validated. There's some romance and joy that's involved with it. And then as we start to move closer to the right side, where the spiritual is, you start feeling a little more secure, a lot of intimacy and oneness. There's openness to it. You feel the attachment. And oftentimes you're overcoming fear and anxiety, and you broaden your experience. Sometimes the exclusivity of this is happening with just one person really creates a powerful, powerful connection. And then as you start to move over into the spiritual side of it, and you know, there's this ecstatic side, this ecstasy side, and awe and fullness and hope, and there's a mystery side to this thing. And this whole thing of oftentimes when you have an orgasm, this ecstasy, I think it moves you into worship, into glory, and into a transcendent feeling. Because there's a moment when you're having sex where it's like you don't even know where you're at. You are somewhere else. It is otherworldly. It's like, it's something like you never experience. And so because of that, I really do believe it's spiritual. And so the spiritual connection, the spiritual oneness, the mystery, the transcendence, the feeling of just this takes me somewhere where I'm beyond, it's beyond physical. It's really kind of an interesting thing. So if you think about it, with the spectrum moving in a physical world, with all the different things, moving into the connection and intimacy, moving into the spiritual side of things, how God has created just an amazing part of our sexuality. And thinking of all these different concepts that are here, what I'm talking about when I ask the question, what does sex provide for you? It provides all this. It provides all the physical relief. It provides the pleasure. It provides affection, connection, oneness, intimacy, all the way to the point of just feeling otherworldly and transcendent. To even the whole idea, like I said, worship and glory inside of our sexuality. So with that, I want you guys to really just see how amazing our sexuality is. Don't feel embarrassed by it. Don't feel shameful of it. I do want you to really think about how do you do it with not just with skill and capability, but also with your morality, with being able to do it the way that you know you need to do it. Like for me, I have one woman, we've been married 37 years, and it wouldn't be right for me to experience this with someone else. I'm not going to outsource my sexuality. And so that's kind of the way my morality works. So with that, guys, I hope this has really been helpful. And as always, if there's more questions or to be had, put it on the thread and let's talk about it if there's more questions. And as always, gentlemen, stay solid, my friends.